Welcome back, everyone. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast. I am your host, Austin, and this week we're getting into freaking laser beams, y'all. It is night vision season, and I kind of hate when people call this time of year night vision season, because truthfully, night vision season is any time it's dark out and you have the opportunity to deploy your night vision. So yes, it's night vision season because it gets dark at like five, at least here in Michigan, it gets dark at like 5 p.m., which really, it really messes with your day when you wake up and it's, you know, dark outside and you get home and it's dark outside and your days are so short. It's a little bit weird, but night vision season, because it gets darker earlier, you have more night time. The downside, at least living here in Michigan, right, is that it is freaking cold, and it only gets colder up until, I mean, honestly, for me, the worst is usually right around mid to late January is when it gets to be the absolute worst. The weather is the worst. February is my least favorite month of the year, because A, it's a short month. B, the worst weather stuff just always seems to happen in February. You know, the one redeeming quality to that entire month is that it's when we get the Super Bowl. But speaking specifically of night vision use, you start to get, you know, longer days after that point as you get into March and April, and as the weather starts to warm back up, right, then we can all get back outside and you know, enjoy the night vision for a little bit. It just stinks because it's some of the less desirable months out of the year, but nonetheless, you guys, night vision's awesome. And we're going to talk about lasers, because if you are planning to employ your night vision to its fullest extent, and indeed to a lot of the extent which the systems were designed to help us, which is in war fighting, in gunfighting and things, you use a laser or a LAM. You might see that term, that vernacular, right, thrown around the internet a lot, you know, an LAM. Which is just an abbreviation for laser aiming module, and there's several out there. And the nice part about the laser marketplace, especially in the last few years here, is that we actually have more options. We're getting greater developments in the science and the technology behind lasers. And for those of you guys that don't know, and I'm sure we'll probably get into in this week's discussion, historically, the civilian powered lasers have stunk. And it's not because of the laser themselves, it's because the illuminator that comes with that laser unit. So basically, it's an IR flashlight, infrared flashlight. We call it an illuminator because we're fancy like that. The illuminators have been terrible, because all the illuminator has been is a diffused laser beam. So it's put through a diffuser and it spreads out. Instead of having a refined dot like you would with your laser aiming device, or laser pointer, if you will, right, you have this flood of IR light, which depending on your applications and needs and purposes, sometimes you just want a spotlight, sometimes you like a big wide flood. There's pros and cons to both, but generally you need more power if you want to be able to penetrate photonic barriers, if you want to have more reach and things. And that's where it's really been problematic, is because due to the FDA, that's right, the Food and Drug Administration, their rules on laser units and what constitutes as high power versus civilian power and things, that throttled back the power and output on the illuminators that we're able to get as regular civilians. Now, that's not taking into account for any gray market stuff that fell off the back of a truck that some guys were able to get a hold of, or have connections, you know, in various means and ways to get their hands on things like full power PEC 15s or a D-ball A2, which is the full power D-ball. The rest of us were left to fend for ourselves with things like the AT-Pile, which is the civilian power PEC 15, not good for some different reasons aside from the illuminator power itself. The D-ball A3 and D2, which are okay options, but generally speaking have some detractors. And for a while there, that was really it until HoloSun came out with their offering. But now we're starting to, you know, get to the point where we have civilian models that are both high performers and they're affordable. And that's what this week's discussion is going to at least start initially. This is where we're kicking off from, as I'm joined by Marvin. He is the owner and creator of, I think it's AMMJ Detroit is his Instagram page. We'll get into what the business is and all those things, but he created the Penumbra laser unit, which is a V-cell laser illuminator, right, paired with a laser pointer. So V-cell technology is kind of all the rage. We're going to get into that in the discussion, I'm sure. We've seen other units on the market, right, that are able to provide V-cell access, but usually not at a attainable price point. So things like a Mall, maybe some of the Wilcox Raid options and stuff, those are like $4,000. Like guys have paid less than that for their PVS-14. And then when they look into lasers, people are telling them that the best thing that they can get that's going to give them the best performance they're looking for costs as much or more. So essentially doubling your investment. And that's before you even get into a helmet and a mount and all that other good stuff, little whatever you have invested into your rifle. So night vision isn't cheap, but we're certainly going to talk about one of the more affordable options that has been developed. And it's really cool because we don't always get to talk to people about how these things were developed, right? What event in their life led them to wanting to, you know, explore this as an option, let alone as a business opportunity, what they notice, what their thoughts and feelings are, and all that good stuff, right? It should be a really insightful conversation that I'm, quite frankly, as a somebody who nerds out over night vision and things like that, I'm looking forward to hearing about this and speaking with Marvin. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. And then hopefully at the end of this discussion, you guys will feel a little bit better prepared to go out and tackle, you know, purchasing your own laser, maybe even a Penumbra of your own and all that good stuff. But before we get on to this week's discussion, you guys, we are a sponsored podcast. We have some great companies that we work with. And, you know, at the time of this recording, we're like a week and a half out from Black Friday 2024, baby. So if you guys are looking for some places to get some new gear, and you will more than likely see some pretty good sales from these companies, pay attention here, stay tuned. We're going to tell you about our partners, starting with Custom Night Vision, you guys. Their website is customnightvision.com. Last year, I was actually able to jump on an Instagram live feed on Black Friday and direct several people actually to the Custom Night Vision website to not only help them with night vision that they were looking for, but for some people, they were just looking for, you know, odds and ends, flashlights and optics like the Acro P2, which Custom Night Vision does stock. And I know somebody bought multiple of them last year. I was able to connect them because, man, Custom has some great pricing, and that includes the optics like the Acro. But if you are looking for night vision, if you're looking to maybe do what I did just 2 years ago now, it seems like way longer than that, but get into your first PVS-14, CustomNightVision.com is a great resource. You can head on over to CustomNightVision.com. You can check that out for yourself. If you're shopping during the day on Black Friday, they have a chat function that's built into the site, so you don't have to go the route that I did, which was, you know, midnight on my computer messaging my buddy John from LARP Labs and asking him all kinds of questions about specs and the tube and what I should get, what I'm looking for. Is this one good? Is this one good? Right? He was up till like 1 a.m. with me, helping me de-stress and try to make sense out of the purchasing experience, because I was scared to death that I would lose out on a really good tube if I didn't, you know, strike while the iron was hot, so to speak. You don't have to worry about that with Custom. Their goal, their mission is to provide you guys the most transparent buying experience possible. One more time here, the website, it is customnightvision.com. You can go to the website, check it out for yourself. They have a builder tool, so if you want to pick your very specific tube and your very specific housing, whether that's a binocular or monocular housing, they have many, many options in stock for you guys to choose from. They have the support queued up, ready to go, and they have some of the most competitive pricing that you guys are going to find in the market, followed up with some outstanding service and a great warranty. We're super proud to work with these guys, and truly, if you are looking to get into night vision, they have solutions for you guys, especially set for Black Friday. So whether you need to go in there and just pick up the unit itself, or you want to go 0 to 1, you want the PVS-14, the mount, the helmet, the laser, and good to go, Custom Night Vision is your one-stop shop, you guys. Head over to the website, check it out. Let them know we sent you. They will take fantastic care of you while you pick up your very first night vision unit, or maybe just an upgrade. Also, want to say thank you to our friends over at 100 Concepts. Guys, they're absolutely crushing it. They've been releasing a ton of new products that are going to help you guys address some of the issues that we all face when we're out in the field. So camouflage, reflection, noise. So things like their sling adapter, so you can run it with cord rather than, you know, if you don't like QD, because those things do fail. Had one fail myself. If you don't like the HK hooks because they rattle, they make a ton of noise, they have a paracord adapter, so you can actually utilize that on your rail to mount your sling that way and no noise because it's cord. It's not metal on metal. That's addition, you know, to the scope caps and the light caps that they've been, I mean, basically made famous by. Those are wildly successful, and I don't need to tell you guys about how great they are, because I mean, man, everybody is running them, and you're even starting to see companies copy and imitate that design with their shock collar system and whatnot. You know, imitation being the greatest form of flattery, but if you guys want the real deal, you want the true blue, good light caps, scope caps, hex caps, pro caps, all the good caps, right? Night vision caps, those should be back in stock soon, right? You guys can head over to 100concepts.com. They're a tremendous company. We're happy to work with them, and they will, if they follow what they did last year, have a great Black Friday sale available to you guys. Do good, be dangerous, live free. 100 Concepts. Check out the website for yourself today. And last, but definitely not least here, we want to say thank you to our friends at MF Precision Supply. You guys, website is mfprecisionsupply.com. It's Connor, it's Daniel. Those guys are two really good friends of ours, and they are dudes that are out there training. Their goal, their mission with MF is to bring you guys solutions that are going to make you more capable, better shooters, better equipped civilians, right? So they carry the good stuff. They carry the brands that we're all looking to get our hands on. So SIG, Trijicon, EOTech, right? They're going to have those options in stock for you. You guys head over to mfprecisionsupply.com, and you can even use discount code PREPARED10 to save yourself 10% off while you're checking out the gear. If you're trying to grab an optic, some ammo, they have some med stuff up on there, and they're working on the site all the time, making sure that they have the most up-to-date and best solutions that they can provide to you guys. They even have lasers. So, you know, we were talking about lasers today. If you're looking to get into some laser stuff, they have Holosun. They have Steiner options. You guys, and at very competitive pricing, and I know, because that's, and I want to harp on price, but man, that's what it comes down to for a lot of us. That's why they bring the right solutions to you guys at the right price. Again, it's mfprecisionsupply.com. The discount code, one more time for you, is PREPARED10. Head over to the site, see what they got going on. You might find some stuff for yourself. You know, you deserve nice things, especially during this holiday season when we're all spending all of our money on our family and our wives and spouses, who certainly deserve it, but... Sorry, guys. MF Precision Supply, you guys deserve nice things, kings. Go out and treat yourself. Discount code PREPARED10. It's going to save you 10% off your order, whether it's an optic, whether it's some med stuff, whatever it is, right? So head on over to the website, check it out, support Daniel and Connor, and pick up some rad gear for yourself as well. Black Friday, you guys, I'm always the one who's like, yeah, man, I'm definitely going to get myself something nice this year. And then usually I don't. I think the year that I got my PVS 14 was probably the only year in probably the last 10 where I actually go out and take a big swing on Black Friday. But if you're out there looking, you can definitely go check out Custom 100 Concepts and MF Precision Supply. Those guys are all fantastic. They're great supporters of what we do here. And speaking of which, if you guys are looking for ways to support us, we do have a Patreon. We are dropping content, blogs, videos, whatever, you know, on a basically every 3 to 4 day basis. We're dropping more and more stuff on there, making sure we're rolling out more content and addressing the questions that you guys have, quite frankly. So you guys can head over to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/prepared_mindset_pod. You can support us that way and get access to more content, more information to help make you better prepared. But getting back to today's discussion, today's guest, right? Sitting down with Marvin, we're going to talk lasers. We're going to talk about how he got to the point of just saying, the heck with it, man. I don't like what's there. I am going to find a way to bring a better laser aiming module to the market. I'm going to help my homies out. I'm going to address a problem that I see, you know, fill a gap in the market, if you will, with a better offering as he sees it that does some, I mean, there's some fairly unique features to this thing. If you guys haven't checked out the Penumbra, it's not exactly what I would call just another offering on the market. There's some features there, mounting specifically and stuff that makes this, you know, very unique. Very unique. So I think this is going to be a great discussion. I think you guys are really going to dig it. We're going to talk about all that stuff and more. But rather than belabor the point any further, I am just going to cut us on over, get into the discussion with Marvin, and hear all about the Penumbra laser device. Here we go, y'all. Marvin, welcome to the podcast, brother. How are you?
Good. How are you? How you doing?
Good, man. Good, man. I'm happy to have you here. We actually got to meet last week before connecting for this discussion. Been following what you guys are doing with the Penumbra and kind of the momentum and attention that it's gaining. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to kind of getting into this whole thing. What I mean, let I guess go introduce yourself, man. Like, let the audience know who you are and what you kind of do, and then we'll dive in.
Hello, my name is Marvin. I am managing AMMJ, the business that I have here, making hand guards, adapter plates, and the most recent product is the laser aiming module, the Penumbra. And yeah, just trying to figure everything out before SHOT Show here coming up.
You guys are heading out for SHOT?
Yep, I got a booth this year.
Nice. Yeah, I've never been, but I always hear the stories. Some good, some interesting, you know what I'm saying? But I'm sure it'll be a good time for you guys. And obviously, dude, exposure there is huge. Tons of, you know, good networking opportunities and whatnot. So what led you to where you're at right now? Like, and I had honestly thought that the laser was the only product you guys had. I know when I started looking at the website, there's the hand guards that I don't know if there's an actual name for it, right? But they surpass the collar of your suppressor, right? So it's kind of like one seamless presentation of your barrel and suppressor, and there's some other stuff too. How did you end up, you know, with AMMJ?
I originally started with the handguard because I was still doing more automotive work. So I'm in Michigan. We do a lot of work for like the big three. And I just kind of started sketching up a handguard that I wanted because I had bought a Honey Badger from the Cube. And it was my first turn of blackout, my first suppressor, and it looked cool and it felt cool. And then I started trying to come up with ways to make it better for me. So I saw they had their SD version, but I had bought the pistol and the suppressor separately. And that suppressor was 1 3/4 inches the diameter. So I tried to use those bars that stick the flashlight out further to get less shadow, but it wouldn't work as good as I thought it would. And there wasn't enough space there. And when you start getting into the guns, you want to put like all the accessories on all of the rail space, you know? So I was like, well, there isn't enough rail space. I want to tuck my suppressor to look like the SD one. And I want it to be kind of a one stamp thing because we had the braces on them. So I made the hand guard to fix those issues that I was having for me. And since I already had the extrusions, it was kind of easier to move into the minifix also. So I make it for the minifix, and then eventually people were asking for the regular size fix. So everything is the same except the top rail, because it's like 1 inch longer in the back, the top rail for that one. And then as I was moving on, I made some adapters for other optics, these new optics that were coming out, like the Ames and the Armors CC, the little one that I think died. I don't think they make it anymore.
Well, I think they
But,
do. I know it's not popular. I know it's not that popular just for a couple different reasons, but I think they still make it.
haven't seen them in a long time. I still have mine, but I want to make another adapter for it because I want to put it on top of a laser or on a handgun or something, but the whole pattern's weird. I don't know. It's like a super proprietary hand hole pattern.
Yeah, it was weird that they like those like compact carry optics, so like the Holosun 407 and the SIG whatever, like they couldn't just make like one universal footprint like they did for like the RMR footprint or the Delta Point. It's like everyone decided they're just gonna do their own thing, and now none of it works conveniently.
Yeah, no. Back then I was super into the 509 handgun and I made an adapter for that this optic on that handgun. But then I switched over to the SIG 365.
Oh yeah.
You know,
Yep.
and I don't know, it's a pretty nice pistol. I've been getting pretty good at that. I put that comp on it, so it's not as flicky anymore. I
Yeah.
like it.
If yeah, like some guys love those things. In my experience, it's like you either love it or you hate it. I personally, it's too small for me to get my hands on. That's why I went with the Glock 43X when I was, you know, carrying something smaller. And that worked better for me just because of the size. But then of course, like a year or a year and a half later, they come out with the the macro or the XL or 365X, whatever, that whole concept, right, where they just made it a little bit larger. And obviously now it caters to pretty much whatever you need. You can get a 365 with, longer barrel, longer grip, both, whatever.
I like the modularity. I like options. I guess
Yeah.
that's super American,
Yeah, no, and that kind of comes through a little bit with the laser. I was really interested when I saw that, like, you can actually mount that thing on like a T2 mount to like elevate the laser unit itself. You can mount the optic directly on top of it. You can rail mount it. Like, there's some serious I mean, or I guess maybe some very obvious thought that went into mounting solutions and a certain desire to be able to use it in more than like, I guess, more than just the conventional way I think people use lasers. What led you to like to that, and some of those options that a lot just really don't have?
Well, it was a lot of buying and trying, once I was kind of done kind of making stuff for other things that I wanted here in the gun safe, I bought night vision, and I was like, well, I want to kit out everything in the safe. What is, the question we always ask, what is the best, right? When you don't know so much, you're like, what's the best? I'll just buy that, and that'll be the end of it. But as I started that journey, I started saying, well, how does my hand fit on this platform? How does my hand fit on this other platform? Like actually comparing it to, when I do dry firing and when I go out and when I do these night shoots and stuff at, Black Creek and all of these events that we go to, I started kind of finding little things here and there that I didn't like about certain laser units, right? So firstly, obviously we have to pick between gray market and white market. And then also we have to look at, well, price, price to performance, what are we giving up? And then also the controls and how it fits into the larger system of the rifle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's something that some I think offerings do really well. And then it becomes pretty obvious later on that some don't really think about it that much. With where they just how they position some of the, like, the controls, and I'm not talking about like the plug for a pressure pad. I'm talking about like actual controls where you're like, spinning a dial to get your laser or laser on high setting or laser and illuminator. Like, some do a pretty good job. A lot of them actually leave some things to be desired. And it's funny because it's like, why can't we just, again, like we were talking about footprints a second ago, why can't we just agree on one nomenclature that we use? Like, everybody uses that same standard language on their laser, and it would make life so much easier.
Yeah, and it wasn't so much the clamping style that was bothering me, it was the position of the laser relative to like the end of the rail. So like with our flashlights, we touched a little bit on that, is pushing the flashlight more forward to get rid of, some of the, the shadow, or kind of optimize you wrapping your hand around it. You do that C clamp, or if you have a barricade or something, you want that to go and hit the flashlight first or whatever. Like with, and I always hate talking about these examples because I'm not talking badly about a brand or a unit because they design it the way that they needed it for their philosophy, right? But like,
Sure.
so the RAID, the mount is all the way at the front. So you have like the whole of the laser taking up all of the space behind the limit of your handguard, right? So like on my MCX, my Rattler, I would put the RAID on there and the button would be in a weird place behind my thumb knuckle because everything is back, right? Like you can't push it up any further.
Yeah, and you have to it's really makes it really awkward where you have to pronate your wrist like just in these weird contorted angles if you're going to just press the button on the device itself. And even you I'm talking about a Rattler, like a shorter weapon system, that is your only option because some of these lasers are large enough, right? It takes up so much real estate. Like, a pressure pad is almost like a non-option in some instances. Like, it's all you have is the button on the unit itself.
And then you start adding stuff to put the make it happen, right? So you put your button at
Right.
like a 45 on your hand guard, but then like it's only one-sided. If you want to do like transition shoulder to shoulder, whatever, like you start kind of fixing, kind of like in the old cartoons when you start plugging hole and then another hole pop out. You know what I mean? And you
Yeah.
like then you're using your foot finger to poke the hole, you know?
Yeah,
Now it
you
doesn't mean
start
it's a
trying
bad
to,
laser,
yeah,
but
you pile stuff on top of stuff to try and, fix problems, and it's never the never ends up being like that optimal end experience that you really want or in search for. And it just, yeah, I think you said it well. Like, you fix one problem and you cause another one. And then you fix that problem and it causes another one. It's just when you have to use that much of a band-aid mentality, the product isn't, maybe it's just not the right one for you, I think is probably the best way to say it.
well, they designed the product to meet criteria given to the, I'm assuming, for who's going to use it. You know, they tailor making the product for maybe a 10.5, right? Or an 11.5, or you know, something between a 13.5 and a 10.5, where you don't have to worry about the rail space, right? Because you have a lot of rail space. But as civilians, you know, and we really get to just pick whatever we want and train with whatever we want, you know. We have so many different possible configurations that we can have, you know, as far as the firearm, and we're limited to those designs that were made for those longer rifles, you know. So like the problem with, let's say, the PEC 15, hypothetically, was that the controls, you know, that rotary dial, I had to memorize that whole thing. And that's an issue that I had with all of them is, you know, maybe I'm not as smart as people think I am, but like, yeah, you can memorize it, but then you're going to have to be thinking about that if you're really switching it up that much. I feel like we don't really switch it up as much as people think we do, you know, playing with the dial, but it's still something that it's easier for me to keep track of for me, you know.
Yeah,
Then it's
it's just one of those things where it's like the convenience factor for lack, I mean, I guess it's probably not the greatest name for it, but maybe the ease of operation is not quite there if you if it requires you to memorize the exact these weird exact positions. And and I'll say, like, as a user, I have a D-Ball A3 on my 11 and a half, and I've been okay with it. Like, the Illuminator, and we should get into that in a moment as well, as talk illuminators, but the illuminator's okay on it. The laser's fine. The thing that kills me the most, it was like just learning. Even now, I have to like guess and check with what setting I'm on, with how that dial works on the D balls, because it's just not the easiest to decipher. You basically just have to get used to it. And your point, right? You just memorize what it is, you get used to it. You learn it not because it's easy to learn, but because you have to use it. And let's be honest, like, we all spend way too much money on night vision to not use that stuff. So we find a way to make it work. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is.
I did like the D-Ball, the A3. I thought that it was a very symmetrical design. My problem with that one was that I would be fingering the turret, adjustment turret, instead of finding the button to activate it. I
Yeah,
don't really like
it's,
to use pressure pads.
oh, not a fan.
I have it on some of the longer ones, but if I can not deal with the pressure pad, I don't use the pressure pad. So like the button, I really like the button on the PEC 15. The placement was like very center and it was nice and squeeze, you know, it was there. You can't confuse it for something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very deliberate.
But the problem with the PEC 15 was that the housing, you know, is the clamp and it's plastic, you know, and with impact and with use and heat cycles and everything that, you know, we put through it, the plastic will degradate, you know, and then it cracks. You know, that's just the way it is. Even metal fatigue
Yeah.
is this way, you know?
Yeah. The PEC is still a good unit. That's why I think people still try to get them. But I mean, like you just said, there's some, and I think it's fair. Like, I don't usually try to go out of my way to be overly critical, but I think it's sometimes it's fair and good to be, to be a little critical, and I think people know that. Like, people talk about it online a lot. The PEC is a great laser unit, especially if you get a full power one. But the two problems everybody has with it are, yes, it is, impact resistant polymer or plastic, whatever the hell it is, right? But the big one's the clamp. That's why everyone says that, that we tie it down with wire and string and 550 cord, and you have to constantly recheck your zero because that clamp just backs itself out. It's just a straight slot screw, with one metal side, and of the clamp is one side's metal and one side's plastic. It was a good idea. It was just carried out not as well as it probably could be, which I think is why you see some, other offerings out there. They move towards that, the lever, the clamp on style with a full metal mount and, a detachable mount, so you can switch between some solutions and stuff. It was great. I mean, people forget how, I mean, the PEC's how old now though? Like,
It's very old for the time. The design is not a bad design. It's made with manufacturing at scale because of the injection. It's less assembly, less components to put together at the end of it. Everything is there. So it wasn't a bad design, but it isn't an updated design to how, we have moved with night shooting, right?
Yeah, like some of the things that are done now with some of the devices like yours, as well as a couple of the other ones where, like, and the PEC got it right with the button placement in the center. The D-ball did not. It was one of the gripes I had about it. It's one of the reasons why I run a pressure pad with it. Or even, you could say the same thing about the mall to an extent too. Like, yeah, the button's in line, but it throws off everything that you're doing because you have to buy a whole different, switch setup and mounting solution because of how it works and everything, and it requires a whole different solution set, so I know a lot of people love them all. I've never
Mall is a
used
great
one.
unit. I love the mall. The concept is very good. It's very innovative. The way that they get the power out, the ergonomics, they're great, for what they decided to, design around. I think it was good. But you can't have everything. You have to sacrifice something. And I think the biggest thing with that is where you put your white light, and then where you put the laser so you can actually reach the buttons if you don't want to use a pressure pad. And once you start using the pressure pad, it takes away the benefit of the design, in my opinion. You know what I mean? That's just my opinion.
No, I completely agree. You see a lot of guys, they'll run the mall and then they'll get like a mod button, one of those super small pressure pads, right? And you kind of have to create your own pressure pad basically by getting those things as close together as you can on the rail, so you're not compromising your grip if you're trying to use a white light, then go to the laser or whatever. It's not a bad idea. And if you're just speaking about the ergonomics of the laser, because that's all they could do as designers, right? I think it hits on some things really well. But to me, it kind of fell in line with like the cloud defensive owl, where they built the pressure pad into the body of the light. It's a really, really good idea until you have to start working around other things like a pressure pad for a laser or a laser device in general because of the size of that freaking thing, which ultimately, from, and we've had Sean on this podcast before, and he even said like they acknowledged that that was a good design, I believe you said, for where they were at, and it solved a lot of problems, but it created some other ones. It's why they don't manufacture it anymore. They just move past
And
it.
yeah, the industry is very like you can't make everybody happy. You have to pick what your audience is going to be. Like, I wanted something neutral, so I made it a box. I wanted something that I can put on many things, so most of the controls are in the back. The button, there's only one button on the top. Anything else is flat. Like, that's the only profile there. That's the button. The divergence, I started. Before I made the laser, I made a lot of throw levers for the D-Ball A3 and for the PEC 15s so that you can adjust it without having to roll your fingers, at the front of it. Even with a suppressor, you're not really changing that much, I don't think. Which is, I'm not saying it's gimmicky, but usually you set your laser and you kind of leave it alone unless something super serious changes. I think, right?
Some kind of environmental demand where you need to lose the laser and go straight to an illuminator or something. But yeah, I mean, yeah, typically, and some of the controls are set, so you can go from a laser to laser and illuminator really quickly back and forth. But yeah, typically you're using one or two settings. You're not using the whole spectrum. You're not going from like, oh, things are real serious. Now I need to go to high power. Like it's just not how it's not how it works.
But it's still something that I thought the customer would like, right? So, like, I was making those throw levers and say, well, if I make throw levers for other companies, I'll just add the throw lever to this laser also. So it's at the back. That's probably the only thing that's like focused on like a right-hand shooter. You can still reach it if you're left-handed, but it's right there. You just toggle it. I was kind of, we're all always looking at what's coming out. I originally, and I have my documentation and everything. I don't want to feel like in not genuine, but I wanted to do a slider, but I didn't know how to put the slider on in a good spot, So I moved away from the slider and I went back to like the knob, okay? And I thought that was kind of it was kind of the less bad one, especially for like waterproofing and things like that. And then I saw the EOTech version where it's kind of like a wiper, But then the position of that was super forward, And if you wanted to change it, you would like have to move, roll your hand up so your thumb can get to it, and then you switch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So
like you said, pros and cons. I mean, like, yeah, you're gonna have to. I mean, the thing's only so big. You know what I mean? So people complain about some of the ergos. It's like, dude, it's the size of a deck of cards. Like, do you want a smaller activation button? Most people usually don't. Like, do you want a smaller adjustment lever? Most people usually don't. Like, there's only so much you can do. So yeah, it's tough. You know, you kind of like you got to turn down some good ideas sometimes. To just make a
well, that's
better
another
overall
thing
product.
too. So we shoot a lot. Things get really hot. And people want the smallest thing, the smallest thing, the smallest thing. But then when things start to heat up, they complain about it. You know what I mean? When things start to
Oh,
heat
yeah.
up and they can't adjust it anymore. And then that's another reason you need a pressure pad to kind of not deal with that, from what I've been hearing, allegedly. That's something that I found with this design that I actually didn't plan for. When we were doing a lot of machine gun shooting, it was like off enough to where it wouldn't get as hot,
Yeah, that little bit
in
of separation.
because the mount and everything wasn't so bunched up in the body, there was some airflow, I guess. I don't know what it is. I don't want to seem like I'm trying to make marketing jargon up as we go, but
No, but
that's
I
what I
mean,
saw.
yeah, if you can get some, is some, I mean, it's the same thing with handguards, right? When barrels heat up and, larger handguards, quad rails take longer to heat up. But then, some of the M-lock rails we have now, right? They have better airflow, so they are thinner, lighter. They take longer to heat up. It kind of there's definitely, I think, something to that. But yeah, I mean, because there's some lasers like the 3 Electron, the Designate IRV, which I've been playing with, and I really like, but it sits so close to the rail, and I'm sure those guys did their due diligence. I have not had any issues with it. Just to be completely clear
They're
for
really
anyone
good dudes.
listening.
They're really good guys.
That thing is so low profile. Like I had to move my light around because the head of my cloud light was hitting the body of the laser. Like it's super low profile. When you look at like the D-ball, that thing sits hella tall. It's probably, I would guess it's probably the tallest laser on the market, like factory. It just, that clamp is huge. It's not a huge issue, especially because I run a tall optic, but, I mean, maybe that's why, that separation helps with that heat dissipation and some of the issues that that heat can cause when you're talking about lasers and illuminators and things like that, and how you want those and need those, right, to function correctly in those circumstances and situations. You need it.
And that's another thing too. Like, you can't have everything, right? You have to sacrifice one thing for another. So you got an LVPO, the DRRV is super low and never gets in the way. You don't even see your thumb. But then when you add a flashlight, maybe it's a little bit wider, You're trading flatness for wideness. That's what I did personally. That's why I'm a little bit wider. But with my laser, you can actually, And this isn't a comparison. It's everybody's different. Everybody's needs are different. And that's another thing that I like to, I'm always saying is you buy what you need, right? Buy what you need. And unfortunately, we have to buy and try, you know? Very few times we can actually we get to everything we want and try it comfortably without, you know, almost panicking about hurting it, and then our friend will be upset, you know.
Yeah, you
But
can. Well, that's why it's important. Well, not, I don't want to say it's important, but it's beneficial, right? To have friends that have night vision, you know, because then they have a different laser than you have. Or, hey, can I try yours before I buy mine? Most guys, like I know with my stuff, like people want to try my stuff out. I'm usually, for the most part, pretty open about it. Like, yeah, check the laser out, check the pressure pad, or, you know, you want to use my night vision? You're like, here, check it out. This is what it looks like. I get it. This stuff costs a ton of money. And it is. It's unless you go to like one of those range day events or something where you have a company that brings out, you know, 10 different model lasers, it's pretty difficult to get, you know, a real good understanding of what you need and what's beneficial, what's not, like where your pros and cons lie. Like especially with some of the legacy offerings that people rave about, and then you use it and you're kind of it's not really as exciting. You know, like the legacy HoloSun lasers. I only say legacy because we're supposed to get this iris laser. You know, it's been a year since SHOT Show. We still don't have the iris, but
I don't blame
people
them. It's
didn't.
hard work, but
It's a
that's
lot, and you
okay.
want to make sure, you know, because it'll be catastrophic if they launch it and there was an issue, right? I'm sure there's a reason for the delay. But the biggest thing that people are underwhelmed by, or were with civilian lasers up until. I don't know. You'd have to tell me what you think. I say the last year or two, but we're finally able to start seeing this affordable shift towards V-cell illuminators over just diffused laser illuminators. And that to me was always the biggest letdown was the illuminator when you're like, this is it. Like I paid all this money and this is the best this laser does because, you know, yeah. And then you look into it, or at least I did, right? And you find out, well, it's the same neutered power laser. They just put it through a diffuser that spreads it out. So that's why the performance stinks, is because of the FDA rule on it, limiting your. I think it's what like three milliwatts or something like that. They restrict it to something like that. So then, if you move to V-cell technology, because it's not a laser, I guess. And I would love for you to talk about that because I don't really know how that gets defined, other than that it makes for a much better illuminator for us, and that's why we love it.
Yeah, they're both lasers. It's just that the way that the power reaches the sensor, the way that the FDA tested, it hits a little bit differently and it appears as if it is more intense, but the energy is being thrown out more efficiently. Like instead of having like a big, you know, laser diode, you have like a lot of little tiny lasers on a chip on a board, like this tiny little thing. So I feel like that's why it looks a little softer, you know. It doesn't look as harsh, but it actually the softness helps with kind of the way the light hits, I guess, the target, and you can see it a little more clearly, you know. It's just but I hear that they're going to be changing some rules soon, and I don't know. There's always a lot of like rumors, so I don't know. Just have to kind of prepare for what could be coming, and if it doesn't happen, then you know,
That would be
just be.
tragic. Like if we finally, as an industry, and I was going to say community, but as an industry, figure out a way around a relatively, I think most people would agree, a relatively nonsensical limit. Like I get with the laser portion of it. I understand because the danger to people's eyes and things like that. Like I get it, but like, they're not just testing your laser when you send this to the FDA, or I'm assuming you have to send one to them, they're testing the unit, right? So like they know that that's the illuminator part, not the aiming laser portion. So like there's not
Well,
a.
they test both at the same time
But
because
I mean,
that's
like
the
they have a.
maximum output of the unit
But
is
they get
both on at
the.
the same time.
But you send them the laser as a whole, right? You're not sending them like just the board and the laser or
No,
whatever.
no,
Like.
no, no. You have to send them the product. You have to send them the
Yeah.
product.
Yeah, so like they're holding it. They know that like, hey, we're testing the illuminator right now. Like I never understood why the illuminator was and I don't know, maybe I don't understand the technology well enough, but I what I can confidently say is that we've all felt the frustration behind the limitations that causes to the performance, which is what made the V-cell so attractive, was because there was a way to get around that. And that's, you know, for a long time there, right? Like, I don't know if the does is the RAID of I think the RAID's a V-cell laser, but
Yes.
yeah, the RAID and the Wilcox, or sorry, the RAID and the MALL, they were the two civilian accessible V-cell options you could get, and that's why they blew everything else out of the water. Now that barrier is down, and we're starting to see more affordable options. I hate using the word cheap with any of this stuff, because I think when people hear cheap, they think poor quality. So I try to always say more affordable. You know, so you're starting to see more affordable options that are utilizing that technology that makes it, you know, more accessible for the rest of us. We don't all have, you know, 4 grand to go buy a mall, as nice as it would be, you know.
That's a broader net, I hope that I can cater to some part of the industry. It's been, tough. I'm not very good at my marketing right now. I'm kind of, I don't know, my wife keeps saying, post something. I'm like, I gotta think of like a cool background or something. A video, something, she's like, you haven't posted on YouTube. When are you going to post a video on YouTube? I'm like, I didn't know I had a manager. I don't know what's going on.
You do now. Yeah, no, it is definitely, on a business side, it is way harder than people want to give it credit for. People say, oh yeah, just post something to YouTube. Like, well, what do you mean? Because here's the thing, like, and you'll probably agree with this as a business owner, right? Like, a poor representation of your product can hurt you more than a poor product. Like, if people, because that's how everyone gets their information. And I know there's, you know, arguments out there right now that are really popular about whether people really need the gun tube reviews and stuff. But people, at least I can honestly say, like, as somebody who did a bunch of research, that's just how I am. Like, when I was buying my first laser, buying my first night vision, I did a ton of research and I stressed about it before people go out and spend the money. So we're talking, you know, we're talking several hundred dollars here, obviously, right? Thousands of dollars for these modules and things like that. People want to see performance. They want to know that what they're getting is going to give them a positive experience. You know, they're going to feel good about what they bought, right? And if a poor representation of it turns them off, obviously it's bad for business for you, but like, they could genuinely be missing out on a very good product because of poor marketing. So it's, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't type thing. It's much more difficult. It really is, than what I think people at surface level, right, at face value, people want to give it credit for.
Yeah,
To your
and
point.
it's tough. It's like everything. You have references when you go to a job. You have street cred. Who's vouching for you when you're trying to get in a new group, right? Is this guy a dumb, dummy? Oh no, I'm vouching for him. He's my cousin. If he does do something dumb, then guess what? You're being held accountable too for that because you vouch for him. It's just a lot of. It's a lot of the same thing, but in a different industry. A lot of the stuff that we hear people arguing about, it's always been around. What makes you a real hunter? What makes you a real, Latino? What makes you a real carpenter? What makes you a real race car enthusiast driver guy? I think we were talking about the cars too. How many times have you been on the track? How many times have you gone off track? You never really pushed the car. You know what I mean? Just
Yeah, it's a moving target. People will define with some of that stuff anyways, they define some unattainable goals and stuff, and it's incredibly frustrating because then it makes it very difficult to represent yourself well, I would say. And that's true of yourself or of a friend or of a product. It's a moving target. It's really the world we live in right now. It sucks. You're never gonna please any please everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just gotta do the best you can, but understanding, you know, make those measured steps forward and stuff like that. The marketing stuff, I mean, word of mouth marketing's a thing. We had a guy on the range with us a couple weeks ago Well, no, okay, it was like a month and a half ago. It was a little bit longer than a couple of weeks. But he had one of the lasers, and I was like, dude, can I check that out? Can I see it? Like, what do you think? You know, that kind of thing, I think does way more than a video review. In my opinion, when you have people that people that you trust that say positive things about it and make a recommendation, that carries a little bit more water, especially in today's day and age where people can just be paid to make a good video and maybe it's not a great product. It's tough out there. You got to really look for it.
Where they say you have to have a discerning eye. Yeah. You have to know who you're hearing it from. And I don't know. My family sometimes says, why you don't send it to reviewers? I'm like, well, I want it to grow organically. They're like, what are you talking about? We have to make it happen, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but you have to pick how you get noticed. You know what I mean? I'm
There's a
not
way
a
to,
very, go ahead.
I said there's a way to do it. You want to, I think, with a lot of this stuff, it's the same thing, with a lot of these products. Like you want to show it being used and like in context, like, hey, here's people using it while shooting. Here's, like there's an organic way, to use your word, right? To help the word, help the product grow. And it's tough because you do have a marketplace, and this is, and I won't even restrict this to like the 2A space. Like I'll say hunting and shooting all together, 'cause I have buddies that are big hunters, and they'll tell me all the time they hate how commercialized the hunting has become. Now you have guys that spend thousands every season on new clothes and stuff because they're convinced they just need that new thing, and then they do, and it's like, well, was it that much better than the stuff you had before? And it's like, well, no, it's not, but I was convinced it was. So
We're
that's
around the
the
same age though. We always like to rebel against the mainstream, right? When it becomes mainstream. I got some pictures when I used to be that I don't want to say. If somebody finds them, they'll find them. But our
Wow.
styles were funny because we thought we were being rebellious, right? And then maybe Hot Topic turned it into a mainstream commercialized version, and then you don't want to do that anymore, you know?
Well, yeah, we all went through that phase, but
Yeah,
the yeah, I mean, and on some stuff, it's good to get away from the mainstream. I think, especially in with it, there's a sweet spot for that, especially in the firearms industry, where sometimes you can find some lesser, I'll say lesser known products that perform really, really well. And it, if you do it at the right time, there's a strong value proposition for both, for the consumer and for the business. So, one example I'll throw out there is, the guys at Lead and Steel down in Ohio, and they make the, the
Andor.
LP1 and the LP1 rifle optic and the PB3 pistol optic. And, they were kind of relatively unknown for a hot second there. And now I think they're really starting to gain some traction and momentum and grow as a company and stuff. And that was, for a while there, you were able to pre-order at a lower price. And then for a while, their prices were just lower because they were trying to build interest and things like that. And not insanely low, like you felt like you were buying something cheap, but lower certainly than some of the, RMRs and Acros and things out there. And that's that sweet spot where, as a consumer, you're getting a good price for a great product. Right. And as a business, you are getting more of your products out there into people's hands. So not even that they're using them, but like, hey, your buddy can try it out. And then they go ahead and buy one because they liked it. And then they take it to a different range. And then somebody sees it there. And that word of mouth marketing, it is a slower way to do it, but it is, in a lot of ways, I would say it's a more sustainable thing long term. And it's from a, I would say this is all my opinion, right? Like from a perception standpoint, it makes the business look better because you're not just paying off people to say nice things. It's out there, the product is standing on its own legs, and you can see that it does things well. Otherwise, people wouldn't be talking about it and running it on their guns and excited to show you about it. People aren't excited to tell you about, crappy products. Hey, look, I wasted money. Like, no one's excited to tell their friends that. They want to tell you about something great they got. And that's where, you really start to get the traction, the growth, and the positive discussion and things in the community and whatnot.
And I love that because then the product actually, you see evolution. You see the product evolving to meet more more what the demand really was for the product. You know, maybe it was 75%, and I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about in general, right? Like even with the iPhones. Look, we don't have the same iPhone we had in what, 2010, you know, whatever. Like you get to see how it develops, how the market developed the product as much as the product developed the market. You know, I like to see that kind of stuff.
I mean, do you already, and I'm sure you probably do, but like, how has that been for you watching the reception of this, and from a design standpoint, like, do you already have a list of things like that you want to improve upon, or like ideas for future enhancements, things like that? Is it just something
I
you're
do.
always
I
thinking
do.
about? Yeah.
So I have to make myself stand out, and the only way I know how is to add features, add value, right? So the next part of the Penumbra is going to be the USB-C. So with the USB-C, I can spread out the controls a little bit more in the back, make it more comfortable for people. You know, you can more easily mess with it. For me, it's more convenient because I don't really like using pressure pads anyways. But the biggest thing too was people keep asking for viz override. And I feel like
Really?
traditionally, you know, police departments and people that have that training set, you know.
Okay,
So
that makes more sense. Yeah.
what I wanted to do was, okay, you've got the USB-C. We can make it more power efficient because the way that the crane plug works is you're just completing the circuit or whatever. But with the USB-C, we can do a lot of little things with the pressure pad. You know, you have a pressure pad with two buttons. You have two things that you can do with the laser. For example, you have a vis override, and then you have one button that does whatever the laser is actually programmed to do. Or even with a flashlight, you know, you could have flashlight and vis laser override, and then you have whatever's programmed on there. Or you could have whatever one button is whatever the laser says it's going to do, and then the other button is just going to be high power everything. You know what I mean? If you want to jump to high power and you don't want to have to mess with the divergence, like there's a lot of things that you can do with that. And you know, that's one of the things that I'm going to bring to SHOT Show because I bought the booth. So I'm going to show those off there. But yeah, everything is changing. Things have to change. I feel like a lot of people kind of get tired and bored really quickly now, you know, and these changes aren't just like gimmicky changes either. You know, I want to make changes that will add value again, you know.
Yeah, that's one of the things that pisses me off more than anything in the market is where you get these like Gen 2, Gen 3, whatever products, and it's just changes, right? Just changes for the sake of making a change. And I'm sure that someone could probably quantify something somewhere on some of it, but like you just traded one set of problems for another. And I think to an extent, you never get quite completely away from that. But there are just some, like, why did you rework it, you know, with some of these products? It's like, you know, did you want to make something that was required a different footprint? So now your end users and stuff have to buy something totally different. It's just a money grab. Some of that stuff, like, it doesn't, to your point, like it needs to be an actual improvement. It doesn't need to just be like a rehashing for the sake of reviving your revenue stream. I
Well, then
hate
and
when
also,
companies
like
do that.
sometimes it's like, who are they making it for? You know, like your perfect cheeseburger is not my perfect cheeseburger.
That's
Like,
true.
maybe they made it for like a specific dude, and then they had the tooling ramped up anyways, and they had everything kind of moving. So, okay, let's make 1,000. Let's see how it sells. You know, I don't know. There's so many reasons you can just I'm pulling them out of thin air. I don't know. You know, but you know, so many things can go good, so many things can go wrong, and you can adjust to that. And it's painful. You know what I mean? Adjusting to something like that, making changes after all the investment, you know, depending on the change, you know, it hurts, right? But you have to do that to stay alive, stay relevant, you know. And even though I'm not there yet, I'm trying to get more relevant, but we'll see. We'll see
It's a
how it goes.
process, man. It's a process. I think, at least from like, I like the la I mean, I use it during daylight, so I didn't get to really try it under night vision. I like the laser. I like the ergo on it. I think the mounting solution, especially because you see, like, You see so many people spend all this money on these mounts and things like the Hydra mounts and risers and all this, and I've done it, right? So I can totally make fun of myself for it. But having the ability to just throw that on a regular, like standardized footprint riser, I think is a great option. So you don't have to necessarily go out and spend $400 or $300 on something like additional to pick up your laser if you need to use it on an elevated level, you know. Just little things, right? Little things that make it a better option in some regards for different, like you said, for what different people need. And for that, like, have you gotten a lot of feedback from like professional end users yet, or any like agencies or anything that are reaching out about the device, trying to best fit it for their specific use cases?
No, not really. I don't think I'm that popular yet. I just most of the pictures and most of the videos. There's a good video by Forimar Ranch.
Oh,
That's kind of
yeah.
the only video up right now that's not my videos, going back almost a year now from the first kind of prototype where I felt comfortable showing it. People don't see the iterations before that and all the problems that were there before to get to this point, and I'm already thinking of improving it. And I forgot what the question was. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I just the feedback you were getting and stuff, like the 4MR Ranch video. I remember I watched I think I watched most of that. He does some I will say, like, I've never talked to the gentleman, but he does some really good content, especially with some of the laser stuff. I think he was the one that did like a 2-hour video comparing like 27 different lasers, some that I'd never even heard of, right? Like end to end to end and everything. And certainly he knows enough about them that he can provide good feedback, not like just positive, but actual good feedback on features and performance and things like that. So that's a good one to be connected with, to like have him actually share his thoughts, to evaluate it, to know what to evaluate. Because I think a lot of people look at a laser, honestly, and they go, yeah, it makes a laser beam. I don't care. Here you go. And there's a lot to it. There really
I
is.
feel like a lot of people have that opinion, but they don't feel that they have that opinion. They say, I want the best, but they don't know what the best is. I think we talked about this off recording, or did we talk about it on recording?
I think you
Where,
said that at the very beginning, but
like, what is the best, right? When you see some people looking for a bike, they want 1,000 cc's off the bat. And you're like, you don't know, you barely know how to manage a clutch. What are you going to do with that? And then people end up getting the brightest lasers and then doing vehicle work, they blind themselves or, they gain their tubes because they just put the full power thing in there and everything splashes everywhere. And like, even with the pointer, what does full power actually do? Right? Nobody really asks those questions. Like, what is the purpose of this?
Well,
Right?
and people don't understand too, like, just because it's brighter doesn't always mean it's better. Like, that illuminator does nothing to help you if it washes out your own laser dot, like when you're or you know, when you're aiming. So instead of getting that like weird, that like that nipple that everybody looks for, where you have illumination but then you have that bright focus dot in the center, if your illuminator is so powerful, or conversely, right, if your laser is so weak that it just turns into one gigantic circle of IR light, it does nothing to help you. So in that case, like, yeah, just power, power, power isn't, it's only helpful if that's what you actually need. Like, if you're trying to shoot great distances, or maybe it's not even about shooting. Maybe it's search and rescue and you're running night vision and you need a powerful, illuminator or something. There's some applications for that, I'm sure, but you have to understand what your end goal is. And like, that's why it's important to go take classes and stuff, or at least at the very least, put yourself in situations to go run this gear the way it's designed to be run. Go shoot, push yourself to distance. Like, until you do that, you never really know how this stuff performs. Like, I thought my RMR was the do all end all. I had the auto adjusting one. I thought it was great. First time I went out and actually shot in the dark, my X300 washed out the dot because the unit itself was not able to adjust quickly enough. And I'm like, well, that's got to go now. Like, not doing that again. That's a waste. I need something that's going to be more reliable for me. that's where it's not gear testing, it's just your own shakeout of gear and understanding what you need. And to your point, sir, picking or finding, right, purchasing the laser, the light, the rifle, whatever that is best for your needs, not just for
Yeah,
whatever the best is.
the system needs to work, together, right? If you're doing CQB stuff, if you're doing long range stuff, what is gonna even the environment changes. So you're calibrated for one thing, and then the environment changes. And I'm not talking about like the laser holding zero. I'm talking about the way the illuminator bounces off of the humidity, right? Or the way the laser changes, with dust or whatever. Like being able to adjust those, the laser has three settings, high, medium, and low. And then the illuminator has three settings, high, medium, and low. So you can tailor that to, like, you go from Texas, you go to Florida, it's more humid. You can adjust that to work better for you in that environment. That's what a lot of one of my friends down there was telling me when he deals with his lasers when he's hunting. He really couldn't get the pointer low enough. So usually people run medium illuminator, low laser, or like maybe high laser, low illuminator. Like you can really choose whatever you want there depending on where you are and how it affects you. I don't know. I think of always this saying. I don't know who said this. I heard it once. It was like, we all come up with these plans in our head and the scenarios, and we daydream about what's going to happen, right? But somebody said everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth or something.
Like it's just you have an idea, everyone has an idea, right, of how this is going to work in optimal situations, but until you actually try it, you don't know what that's going to be. And to your point, it could be different than the next person based off of, I mean, it could be environment, it could be application use case. You mentioned CQB, that changes the game entirely. I mean, I haven't done a ton, but like when I do it, I don't even need the illuminator half the time because A, your night vision has an illuminator built in, and sometimes that's enough. Sometimes you just don't need it in general. Sometimes your laser is powerful enough that the bloom off of the laser, which hopefully that's not what you're dealing with, but sometimes that's enough of an illuminator that you don't need the illuminator. It depends.
I've heard that from a lot of people though too. Like they don't even use the illuminator, they just use the laser because they either got really nice tubes or, like you're saying, the spill helps illuminate a hallway, for example. It's interesting the way people use these.
I mean, it depends on, it's, I think night vision technology helps. If you have good tubes, that obviously is only going to help make things better. Like personally, I have some L3s and a set of MH1s that they're really nice tubes. The guys over at Custom really took good care of me. And the MH1 has like three different levels of illumination built in. So I can do a whole lot with that setup before I even have to touch the illuminator on my rifle. Now, that said, you should understand ideally, right? It's the Indian, not the arrow. You should understand that if you were to pick up like a set of issued tubes or even just a single tube PVS 14, right? And based off of what you see and the data output that you're getting visually, hey, I need to use my illuminator, or no, I don't, or I need to crank this up or crank it down. Like you have to have that knowledge and experience to be able to use that tool successfully. You can't always put it on the laser or the product or whatever you want to say, right? You have to be accountable for that understanding as well. You have to be smart enough to use it effectively. If you expect that to do what you want it to do, you have a stake in that conversation as well. It's not, you're not just going to hand somebody a rifle and now you know how to shoot night vision and do everything super well. Like there's a learning curve you need to understand, and you need to be invested in understanding.
Yep. And I feel like a lot of people like to like separate those things. I know I keep saying it's a system, right? You are part of your rifle system. You are the delivery system of the projectile. Like you said,
100%.
it's the Indian, not the arrow. It goes in with the whole scope of shooting, right? You have to be fit. You have to have cardio. You have to have good enough gear, right, for whatever you can afford, right? You have to do training. You have to dedicate time to the craft, you know? So you can't buy performance, but you can buy a percentage of success. I don't know how to call that.
No,
Survivability, right? Like,
you need to know the skill set, but you're going to put yourself in a more consistent place to succeed if you have better gear. It won't.
like you can have the best training in the world, but 17 rounds in my handgun is not the same as, you know, my kit, you know. I'd feel a lot more comfortable going up against, you know, whatever in kit. You know, there are levels to everything. And
Yeah. No,
you know,
I
we were
agree
talking a
with
little
that.
bit about it.
Yeah,
The whole, go ahead.
oh, sorry. I was just going to say it's the level of competency with the overall system. So, because a lot of guys will freak out, right? Like, oh, I have to run, a laser with an illuminator. And I've seen guy like I've you know I have to have it. I have to have this. I have to have that. And it's like, well, I mean, do you really? One of the things that I was told early on that I didn't want to listen to was when you get your night vision, like, don't worry about a laser. Learn how to passively aim if you're really trying to get into it and really start training, right? And now it's kind of counter to the point of the conversation here where we're literally talking about a laser, but get the unit and go learn how to train. Like, go learn how to walk, go learn how to be proficient with that, and then save up some money, worry about the laser after that. You can still do this. It's going to be more difficult for you, but you can still do it. And if you can do that, then when you get the laser, you'll be able to just pick up and run. So I got a couple
Have to
months of
do
practice.
something. You have to
Yeah.
do something. Like, and I'm not just saying do something like flail around, but do something and it'll have a purpose. Maybe the purpose will change. It will guide the purpose. We said that the product makes the market and the market makes the product, right? Everything happens at the same time sometimes. You know what I mean? Like even with speaking a language, you pick up vocabulary, but you have to start speaking the language somehow. You know, oh, I didn't pronounce that right. Okay, I'll adjust this. Oh, that's a new word. It means this. Like, I think of things this way. Maybe I'm like too messy in my head, but like, start with something. You know, a lot of people, you can't afford the best thing right now, but start with something, right? Start with a handgun, get into the culture, start learning what is the socially acceptable way to behave, right? The real way. Like, a lot of people, they make their personalities and things, and then society will always check you. You know what I mean? Like having children, right? The kid at home is spoiled, this, that, and the third. But once you put him in a classroom with other kids, he's going to get checked. You know, society always checks you. And you know, you can decide to what level once you become an adult, but when you're learning how to socialize, that's the big thing that people don't like to talk about either, is you have to learn how to socialize with the people in groups. Maybe it's not your group, but it's a group, and you associate with them in some way, right?
Well, and yeah, I mean, because we all start someplace, right? Like any, and like all of us, and it's relative. Like some people are blessed with a wealthy family, so they can buy and have access to things that some of us have to work a little bit longer in life to get to. And that's, I mean, it's fine. That's just the world, right? And people that have been through it and have learned and gone through those trials, tribulations, those challenges, they found their way through it themselves. They're never going to be the one looking at you, giving you a hard time because you don't have the best of this or the best of that. If you're truly there for the right reasons, they're going to be there to help you. At least that's been my experience, and I've seen it happen a ton. The problem is when you get people, and this is my opinion, is you get these people where they do have that silver spoon, they do have that entitlement. And they just feel like you should lend them stuff. You should give them the respect immediately, like these kinds of things. And it's a weird the way it all kind of ties back. Because you can see it in some people too, where they have a bunch of kit, maybe some very nice pieces of gear. Good night vision, laser, really nice name brand rifle and can and everything. Right, they got all the good toys. But they don't know how to behave and carry themselves in a social setting, let alone a social setting that's like a gun range where things are different, right? We'll just say they're different. And people are there to help, but if you don't know how to act like a decent human, people are going to give you a harder time. Whereas if you had cheaper gear, you had a cheaper rifle, you were, but you have the best of attitudes, the best of intentions, and more importantly, the desire and the passion to succeed, you'll find that people want to help you and want to support you. Whereas if you feel that you're, like I was saying, if you feel that you're entitled to that success because you have money or you come from money or whatever, it doesn't have to be about money necessarily. It honestly is just truly about attitude. You'll find that people slap you down pretty quick, and
Yeah.
rightfully so.
Like you said, be a good human, be humble. You know, we have two ears and one mouth. You listen two times so you can speak once, you know.
I like that. Yeah.
So I always try to be more observant. You know, I try to, you know, be understanding of everybody and you know, try to guide them. I don't want to say teach them, right? Because we said you're always an apprentice, right? No matter where you go, you try and learn something.
So when that actually leads me to a question I had, because just out of curiosity, like when you figured out that you wanted to like pursue this idea or dream, right, of building a better laser, how did you find your way in that? Like specifically, I guess in the community, were there people like that you were able to reach out to and ask questions that were like willing to guide you, knowing that like, hey, you could turn into a competitor, but we want the best for the community, so we want to help you succeed. Like, what was your experience like when you were figuring this all out?
It was all over the place. I ended up buying a set of 1431s
Okay.
from a company called VF1 Systems. And I started playing with the lasers, just buying stuff. I bought a PEC 15 from, or an Atbol, whatever, the PEC 15 looking
Oh,
civilian one.
the at pile, yeah.
Yeah, from another friend. And then there was a lot of going to the Black Creek events and people meeting people there and just talking with people, seeing who was doing what so that I wouldn't step on any toes, right? Because originally I wanted to make a housing, but I stayed away from that because I met somebody that was already doing something like that. So I was like, okay, I'm stepping off that. I'm not gonna do that. And yeah. So I was thinking about the laser. I'm like, well, how am I gonna make it happen? Right? Because I didn't have the resources at the time. You know, I just got out of my automotive job for a while. I was making handguards, making accessories, you know, machinable things. And when you looked at the market, it was a lot of people making ARs, you know, and that's great, you know, for you know us. But I didn't want to do that. You know, I was kind of just trying to figure out what would be good to go into where there's not a lot of people at the moment. And I definitely was wrong because now there's a lot of people trying to get into this. But the original barrier to entry was the FDA. You know, the development of that. I'm like, well, if I can figure out how to fund it, I can probably make this happen. You know, because we make other components for automotive and then also for non-automotive stuff. So it's like, okay. My family saw that the AMMJ was doing okay. I was like, well, what can we do to help? You know, because my family, they have they are the automotive manufacturing factory here in Oak Park. I'm like, well, I was thinking of doing this, you know, but I don't know if I'm willing to risk, you know, the family to do this, you know, because it's a big deal, you know,
It's a lot, yeah.
and so my family and I were like, okay, let's do it. We believe that, you know, what you're talking about, you know, you've been dealing with this for a while now, and some of your products are taking off, and you know, people are talking about you. So like, let's see what we can do, you know. So I really appreciate my family for that. And you can't do this kind of things alone, you know. You can't. It's very difficult, you know. So started making some prototypes, started conceptualizing. I had all of my concepts and, CAD and drawings and things, and kind of like a checklist of what I wanted, things that I didn't like. We went over that of other units and what I would have liked to have had. And then we started designing more in depth, right? So we went from concept to designing components, right? And yeah, just kept going from there. We started talking to the people that help us make the boards and stuff because I can't make everything.
Oh, yeah,
I
there's a
can't.
limit.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pretend that, the audience doesn't know what they're talking about. I literally didn't come out and start another couple factories to make every single component, That's not how it works. I don't think that's how any industry works.
Not that I'm aware of. You gotta work with some other businesses.
I think maybe a farm can work this way,
Might be the only one, maybe. And sometimes I don't even think that. I think that, the transportation piece of it, they probably farm out to somebody else. So it, yeah, every, but that's why, business is business, 'cause you gotta have, whatever you do, you probably have to have two or three at least partners to help make it come full circle. So it's never done on its own.
Well, it's been very stressful. That's why, I kind of made jokes, but my marketing is, I don't know, I need to work on my marketing. I don't know. I don't know what else to do. Like, I know I can't stop though. I gotta.
No, I mean that's I mean the if you so I work in corporate America. I work in finance. One of the things that they used to tell us all the time when I was working in the sales piece, which I did not like, but was if you carry out the correct behaviors, the success will follow. So, doing the right things, good product, good business practices, things like that, the success will follow. I mean, you can't do nothing, but doing the right things at a measured rate, not overextending and things. It's that's I mean, kind of getting into a business discussion to a point, but it like there's we saw 4 years roughly, right, coming out of COVID, where we saw a whole bunch of people stand up a whole bunch of businesses, throw a whole bunch of money into them, and then watch a large majority fail, because it's not easy, man. Like, and this, I don't have to tell you. Like, and I come from a family where my mother owned a restaurant. Like, it's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart, and it's not for everyone. But if you can succeed, it is worthwhile, And then with work that you guys are doing, there's definite, payoff in the community. People are going to be appreciative and stuff, especially because you're not a huge company that's, got a giant profit margin. You're trying to do this for like the same reasons that somebody else might. You're not just doing it for a, stockholder check or something. So I, you know,
No, I think it's
it's.
worth. I gotta my family pride here. I gotta figure this out. I gotta make it happen.
Yeah.
There's a very important push, but I like what you said, the correct actions. I need to be. I like being honest with people, and I just this is what I do. I'm making this stuff, and I hope you guys find a use for it, I really hope you do.
No, and man, this has been an awesome discussion, dude. I really enjoy hearing this stuff. Like, it doesn't happen often where you have the opportunity to have a conversation around building something and the struggle, and not that it just the challenges, all of it, man. It's been a really good conversation. It's insightful. Like, I'm excited. Like, even when I found out you were like 20 minutes for me, if that, I was like, man, that's the world gets smaller every day. So, but I appreciate you making the time to sit down and talk with me, man. Like, this is, it's just outstanding. Where can, if people want to either talk to you, they have questions about the device, or if they want to purchase one, I know you guys got a website, I know you have an Instagram. Where can people find you on social media?
So the best place would probably be the website. All of the socials are on like a banner rotating down there. It's ammjsolutions.com. And then the Instagram is ammj period Detroit. And then
Right
the
on, man.
YouTube, I'm working on making the official YouTube. I have kind of my personal YouTube kind of hanging out there. So people probably think I'm weird in the music I listen to, but I'm gonna switch that soon. I'm gonna make an official YouTube so that it's only the company stuff.
Right on, man. Well, I mean, obviously, we'll be in touch. We're really close and local here, but eager to see how things develop and, see how SHOT Show goes and wish you guys all the best and all the success. I think it's great to have another quality offering in the market, and I feel like you guys are gonna do real well, man. I appreciate you, and it's been good having you on, man. So I know we had a little bit of audio. I don't know what that was at the just like the very beginning of the discussion, then it just completely went away. I'm not sure if that was on Marvin's end or mine, but great discussion, you guys. Really cool to have him on. Hearing about just and we've been able to have a couple of these discussions with people who are driven and motivated, right? That they want to bring a better product to the market. They want to. It'd fill a gap, fill a void. They either had a bad experience on their own or they saw an opportunity to do something better. They want to impact and contribute in a way where they're, and we talked about this a couple episodes ago. Like, just because you're not, like a professional trigger puller doesn't mean you can't do something that positively impacts the community. And I think, yes, we all run gear. We all have needs for the next bigger, better thing. And having more people out there that are willing to try and push that bar, push that envelope, be able to, or be willing to, make the personal investment, both financially and otherwise, right? Because a ton of time, it's a lot of effort and passion. And, it's not easy, right? These are, it's just, it's awesome to hear these stories and to hear how this goes. I've gotten to get my hands on one of these units. I've not gotten to use it at night yet, but I really like the build quality. Didn't feel, cheap or poorly put together or anything like that. So as best as you can tell in the daylight, really like the unit. Looking forward to actually getting some time with one in low light or dark conditions. Maybe soon at one of our regular training events or something, where I can give you guys, some better feedback about what the device is like and the capability and the usability and the end user experience and stuff. Because it, that's how we get more innovative. That's how we get better products in the marketplace. Look, I mean, there was years, right, where the only pistol optics that we really had on the market were the RMR and the Delta Point. And for that reason, it was years before we got something that was actually competitive and innovative. And that, yes, unfortunately, it was Hollow Sun, right? And then they tried going to court over that, and then now things have just exploded. You have offerings from companies like Lead and Steel, like we run the PB3s here, right? You still have the Hollow Sun stuff. You have all kinds of options, and you need that innovation to be introduced. You need that outside influence to be introduced to the market, to the industry, right? To spur that motivation. I mean, business is about making money, so you have to incentivize a business to change what they're doing or to do better or to do more. Otherwise, what's the point, right? So having more people out there like Marvin who are willing to put in the effort and try and offer something different, something better, is great. It's fantastic. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. Like for me, I was absolutely shocked when I found out that he was so close to me. Like people say they're in the Detroit area. The Detroit area usually means within about an hour, maybe a little bit less, of Detroit in any given direction. So people say, the Detroit area, that's, you could be almost to Ohio and have people tell you that they're from the Detroit area because they just assume that you don't know any of the cities around them. You could also be downriver, so there's some cities, that are on the westward half of Detroit and things, and I'm on the east side and whatnot. So when I found out he was only about like 20, 25 minutes from me, not far from an area where I taught marching band for 6 or 7 years, I was totally shocked. It was very, very cool. I was excited to be able to have the opportunity to connect with him for this discussion. I actually had him with me at Battlefield CQB for our regular Thursday night sessions just last week. Got to meet him, albeit briefly, right? Because we're training. I'm doing some, I hate saying that I'm doing the teaching because I don't really like to look at myself as an instructor, but I was kind of leading the session. So didn't get to sit down and have much of a conversation with him then. Was happy to be able to sit down and have one with him now, obviously. And then share that with you guys, because I think it's important to bring attention to some of these companies that are trying to do things the right way. They're trying to be an honest business. And we had the discussion with with Jeremiah from Teardown Systems in last week's discussion. You know, what can businesses do to be more honest and genuine and transparent so that it's not that they're being cheap and don't want to send stuff out to influencers. It's that they want to make sure that they're building on a foundation of trust with their consumer base, which I think is great, honestly. I really do, because there's a difference between marketing, and we talked about it a little bit on this discussion, right? Between marketing and flooding the market with your product and incentivizing people to give you a positive review in exchange for money or goods or services or whatever the case may be, trying to organically grow a business. And again, no one said it was going to be easy, right? If it was easy, everyone would do it. And that's what I said there on the pod, is that, you know, there were tons of businesses, and I mean, no offense to anybody that went through this. I'm not saying it was your fault. It may have been, it may not have been, but there were a lot of people that decided they were going to start a business and try and find their own success during COVID, right? We all had more time on our hands. Some of us lost our jobs, so we were looking for something else. Things happen. You saw a lot of companies that fell apart. They didn't last through the, you know, first year or 2 years after COVID, was because they didn't have some of those things. They didn't have the desire or the drive or the determination or whatever reason, right, to make it. So, I mean, obviously I want to see Marvin and I want to see him succeed. If you guys are looking to check out his stuff, he dropped the website information and the Instagram. Go check out what they got going on. They're building things up. You know, it's cool on one hand to see a business that isn't dumping money unnecessarily into marketing. I think, you know, this is another thing we talked about with Jeremiah, like these hype brands where they build you up for, you know, a limited release of some stuff. And then the rest of the time, it's just hype. It's building anticipation. It's vaporware, right? Like the Holosun Iris, it's vaporware. It could be a great laser for all we know, utilizes the same V-cell technology as the Penumbra, right? But it hasn't been released. So do we know if it's great? No, we don't. And the average consumer can't really get their hands on it. At least I could be wrong, but I feel like we would have been seeing a lot more of them if they were out hitting the market, especially at the price point and stuff. So it's tough out there. I think, you know, Marvin's doing the right things. It sounds like he's driven, he's passionate. I wish him nothing but the absolute best and success in the future with everything that he's working on here. And, you know, encourage you guys to go check it out. But thank you guys so much for hanging out and listening this week. Really, really appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to my conversation. Got a couple of really cool guests lined up, especially in the next few weeks as we head into wrapping up the year. I'm going to do some holiday episodes with John and Josh, and we haven't heard from them in a hot minute, trying to get some guests on and things like that. The schedule's always super hectic. Like, just it's never easy, but looking to getting things kind of back in balance with the new year, getting John and Josh on more regularly with me, spreading out some of the guest discussions and hitting on some stuff we haven't really talked about before. You know, maybe some things that might upset some people. We'll find out, I guess, right? But yeah, man, thank you so much, you guys, for hanging out. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you're listening to this, I hope you guys have some happy holidays. That's not because I don't like to say Merry Christmas. I just don't know when you're listening to this, but, you know, Thanksgiving is next week. So happy Thanksgiving. If you guys are listening to this a couple weeks in, you know, the rears, I'm not going to say Merry Christmas yet, because I mean, we're just not there yet. It's a week before Thanksgiving, but we'll get to that soon enough. And you guys just be safe out there, you know, be smart these holiday seasons and this holiday season. Yeah. Be smart this holiday season. Take care of yourself, take care of your families. And like we always say here, you guys, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.